Now today we need to come to these important words, hallowed be thy name. We have already studied the richness of God's word in the meaning. We studied what does it mean, our Father? What does it mean when the week before we saw which art in heaven? We saw that heaven is not some kind of a geographical location, but a spiritual state of being. And we saw what difference it makes to our whole spiritual outlook, what difference it makes to our prayer life when we accurately understand the word of God, that God is not far away, that we have to reach by some kind of rocket-propelled prayers, but that God is always near, that right across the border of the material and the spiritual is, as it were, right beside, just switching, you might say, the spiritual or even the material frequency, and you find that you have entered into a new and different state of existence, which is where God is. God is spirit, and he is not near or far in some way that we can measure in terms of geographical distance. Now, I know that many of you may not appreciate the importance of this. You virtually have to be a theologian to understand the depth of what we are talking about. But in due time, the meaning of it will gradually, I hope, percolate like coffee, right down from your mind into your heart. And then it comes and dawns upon you as what it really means. That God is as near as your own breath, as near as your own spirit. He is never far from you. That is the whole scriptural teaching. If he is far away, it's because you are far from him. You are far from him because of sin. But never is he far away from you in terms of distance. He is always near. And so how do we draw near to God? Quite simply, by drawing near to him. By repenting of our sins. And James tells us, draw near to God and on us. You keep emphasizing what we have to do. Well, that's what scripture says, not what I say. God is always ready to do his part. The only question is whether we are ready to do ours. Therefore, scripture itself emphasizes our responsibility, and it never leaves us in doubt that God is ever ready to respond to our prayer. Ask, that's our responsibility. Then you shall receive. Seek, that's our responsibility. Then you shall find. And James says, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. You do your part. He will do his. The question only is, we have to know what is our part. We don't have to know what is God's part. He will do his part. You needn't worry about that. And so here in scripture, the emphasis, not as my emphasis, it is a scriptural emphasis, always lays the responsibility on us. Because God has done everything there is to do. Now it's up to us. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Now today we come then to these words, hallowed be thy name. In Chinese, 愿你的名比尊为圣. Whatever does this mean? It's so easy to pray the Lord's Prayer. And those who have ever been to Catholic school, as I have been, the first thing we ever learned in Catholic school was the Lord's Prayer. And we kept going over and over it without having a clue what it means. I don't know how many times in Catholic school as a little boy I must have prayed, hallowed be thy name. And nobody ever told me what it means. Has anybody ever told you what it means? Do you know what it means? 我们上两个礼拜看到读的教训里面 的意义是什么? 什么叫做我们的父? 什么叫做天上的父? 今天我们来到这一段圣经, 就是愿你的名被尊为圣。 这句话是什么意思呢? 我们可能祷告成为习惯, 很多教会里面, 或者圣餐之后, 或者聚会完了以后, 就念主祷文。 但是你如果念 一个主导文, 不知道它这个意思是什么, 呈现出来有什么意思? 这个就是嘴上一些字眼而已, 意思呢, 根本是模糊不清。 所以今天我们靠主的恩典来了解这个话语是什么。 What then does this mean? We have to approach this question. with a number of other questions. We have to ask, does hallowed mean? What does hallowing his name mean? We have to ask, how is his name going to be hallowed? How is all this going to be accomplished? Where is this going to be accomplished? Why is it necessary that it should be accomplished? Now we have a lot of questions to ask. I hope that when you come to the Bible, you come with many questions, not with a blank mind. You ask no questions, you got no answers. Sometimes you can ask the questions and still don't get the answers right away, but at least you've got something to work on. In English, there is a saying that if you ask the right question, that is half the answer. The problem is to ask the right question. And so in coming to the Word of God, you must come with a spiritual and an active mind, asking the questions. And sometimes we dare not ask questions because we are not sure we could ever get any answers. But if we are willing to search, if we are willing to seek, we shall find. Kipling has a very useful saying, which I think most Christians should learn when it comes to working at the Word of God. And it's this: I kept 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and where and how and who. Now, this is a very useful thing to learn that Kipling worked out. And we need to bear this in mind. When we come to the Word of God, just don't just stare at the words or just sigh and say, well, I don't know what this is. Start asking questions and start finding the answers. And this is the way you're going to move forward, if you're going to move forward at all in the Word of God. What does hallowed mean? Well, first, the translators do indeed put a lot of problems before us. Hallowed, of course, is not a word that is used in the English language for the last 300 years. So if you don't know what hallowed means, I don't greatly blame you. Whatever does hallowed mean? According to the English experts, this word has been out of circulation for no less than 300 years, and perhaps was almost out of circulation even by King James' time. By out of circulation means that it is a word not used anymore in current language. But because it has been part of English traditional language, it's always been part of the Lord's Prayer, therefore the translators do not feel free, even in a new translation, to change the word, so that even in the New English Bible we have the same thing: let your name be hallowed, as though anybody knows precisely what exactly that means. The Chinese, having no tradition to keep to, is freer here and is able to translate 愿你的名被尊为圣. That is close to the meaning. Let your name be regarded, be revered, be respected as holy. May your name be respected as holy. The problem is that even when we've got the right translation, we are not so sure what that means. What does it mean to say, let his name be respected as holy? What does holy mean? Now, what exactly is the word holy supposed to mean? Now, we can think of saints who are holy because some pope canonized him. Presumably that meant that he was put in a canon and shot out or something like this. But it doesn't mean that. It just means that the Pope decided that he was to be raised to the level of a saint, as though it was up to the Pope to decide, or anyone else to decide, who is a saint. This kind of erroneous notion of what is holy still persists. What is the biblical meaning of holy? What does holiness mean in the Bible? The basic meaning of holy in the Bible, in fact, as always, is very simple. It basically means to be set apart, to be different from, to be distinct from everything and everyone else. God is holy in the sense that he is different from anything and anyone else. He is unique. The only Son, the unique Son, is that he is the Holy Son. He is unique. There is nothing and no one like him. Therefore, he is apart, a category of his own. That is part of the basic meaning of holy. That's why we are holy. The word saints simply means holy ones. And you know that Paul addresses Christians as saints. We are all saints. We don't have to wait for any pope to canonize us. The Bible tells us that every true Christian is a saint. What does that mean? That means basically this: that he is now different from the people in the world. He has been chosen out of the world. He has been set apart for God. He is separate from the world because he belongs to God. A saint is somebody who simply belongs to God. Whatever belongs to God is set apart for God, and therefore it is holy. It is for this reason that you see here is called the Holy Bible. Now, that is not wrong to use it in this way, because the Bible belongs to God. The Word is the Word of God. Therefore, when you call it the Holy Bible, it is quite correctly called the Holy Bible. It is God's Word. It belongs to Him. It is not like any human word. It is set apart from anything that man has to say. In the same way, in the Old Testament, the priests were holy. They were set apart for God. They only lived for God. They only served God. They had no inheritance in the world. They were different from all the people. They were holy unto the Lord. That is, they were, you can actually use the word holy by spelling it with a W at the beginning. Completely the Lord's. Holy unto the Lord can be spelled equally well with W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy unto the Lord. Anything that is completely and utterly the Lord's is holy the Lord's. And it is holy in God's eyes. It is separated unto Him. Therefore, I said, if you are a true Christian, you are holy because you are holy God. Now you can understand why I have constantly shown you that the teaching of Scripture knows of only one kind of commitment, and that is a whole commitment, a total commitment. That is why the Bible speaks of saints, because all these people are wholly belonging to God. As Paul time and again wants us to understand clearly, or as he put it in the words in 2 Corinthians, Christ died for us, that we no more live for ourselves, but for Him. So holiness, on God's side, shows His utter difference from anything in the world. How is He different? He is different in these ways. The world is corrupt, and He is pure. The world is full of hatred, and He is full of love. The world is merciless, but He is full of mercy and loving kindness. God in His character is utterly different from anything that is in the world and from anyone that is in the world. It is this otherness, this complete difference of God that the Bible describes as holy. That is holiness and God's aspect. His character is completely different from anything you can find in the world. You cannot, and this is the error of philosophy, you cannot reason from the world to God, because God is completely different from people. He is completely different. You cannot say, well, people are like this, therefore God is like that. You cannot reason like this, because God is completely different from people. He is completely different from even the best of people. His love is of a different quality. Human love is selfish, as we have come to realize. A boy loves you because he wants to possess you. You love the boy because you want to possess him. All human love is like this. And if that love breaks down, it produces tensions. It produces distress because it's so possessive that when it breaks, it produces tremendous stress, like metal fatigue. When it breaks, the pressure is enormous. But God's love is nothing like human love at all. It does not seek to take. It only seeks to give. And in that kind of love, you don't find the same stresses. The direction is different. It is not making this my own, and so many mothers, they love children, sure, but that children is their private property. I've seen so many parents behave in this way, and God help us that when we raise our children, we don't behave in this way. That our children is my property. They are there for me to possess or to dispossess as I please. In fact, I've known mothers who have dispossessed their children because they maintain that everything the children have is theirs. This kind of so-called love in the world is utterly different from God's love. God's love is nothing like this. Therefore, you cannot reason from human love to God's love. It doesn't work like this at all. The Bible says a mother may even forget her sucking child, but I will never forget you, says the Lord. The love of God is completely different, even from the greatest, the finest of human love. That is what holiness means. An utter distinction, the separateness, the difference, the uniqueness of God. Now, we must bear this very clearly in mind if we want to understand what we are speaking about here, when we pray to God that He will hallow His name. 但这一段什么叫尊你的名为圣呢？我们必须要了解圣的意思是什么？什么何为圣？在圣经里面，圣的意思就是跟属世、跟属人，虽然是属人方面最好的那些个东西，就完全不同。上帝所谓圣，就是他跟人是完完全全的不同，不但是在他的能力方面，但是在他的性格方面是完全不同的。所以我们就说，人最好的那一些方面，还是跟上帝的性格不同。比如说人的爱，人怎么样来爱，人的爱还是自私的，但是上帝的爱根本一点自私都没有，所以他的爱的性格都不同。我们不能从人的方面，从人的方面的逻辑、人的方面的性格而继续想念到神是怎么样子，因为神是完全不同。你怎么样想人方面最好的东西，还是不能用逻辑来达到一个结论，说上帝就是如此。上帝并不如此，上帝的爱跟人方面的爱完全不同。所以除非上帝把他自己显现出来给我们一个启示的话，我们怎么也不没有办法知道上帝是怎么样子。所以除非他把自己启示出来给我们知道，我们用我们自己的智慧、我们自己的能力、我们自己的思想怎么样，也没有办法知道上帝是怎么样的样子。所以圣就是表示上帝跟人跟世界是完全隔开的，有个很大很大的距离，上帝是不同的。那我们成圣也是这样，就是说我们当我们被从世界上被上帝的灵、被上帝的工作在我们心里面做的工作，使得我们从世界上属世的一切分开以后，这才为成圣。成圣就是说上帝在我们心里面工作，把我们从世界众人里面拣选出来、呼召出来，成为他自己的儿女。这样跟所有世界上的人完完全全不同的时候，这才为成圣。在我们这一方面的责任是什么呢？是我们这一方面要完全把自己交托给上帝，这个才成为成圣。这个成圣不能成为部分的成圣，你除非是属于主或者不属于主，没有什么在当中一半属主一半不属主的，一半属于主就不属于主了。所以主耶稣说，你除非在我这一边，站在我这一边，不然你是站在敌人的那一边。中立的一个地位在属灵的世界上是没有的。我们也看到过，驯服除非是完全的驯服，也不成为驯服的。所以成圣是一个完全的分开，从世界里面分开。所以你是不是一个圣洁的基督徒，是不是一个真正的基督徒？因为圣经里面只有一种基督徒，就是圣洁的基督徒。圣洁的基督徒就是从世界里面分开，分别为圣的基督徒。我们说分别，这就是翻译的对了，这个意思就对了。我们跟世人要完完全全不同，不但是在名义上不同，不是说我称为基督徒他不称为基督徒所以我是圣洁的，这不是一个名义的问题，是个实际的问题。我们是不是真正的从世界上分出来了，分别出来成为圣。这当然还有另外一个效果在这，上帝把我们分别出来，呼召我们出来，这是因为我们响应他的呼召，我们出来的时候，但是我们的生命第二步要改掉。Now this brings us then, as we see, to the next point. To be separated out means not only that we are some kind, have a different name, but that our lives are different.Now, too many Christians have only one distinction from the non-Christian. It is this, that they have the label of being a Christian. Now, let me tell you, in the Bible, that makes no difference at all. A person simply with a Christian label is not a Christian on the biblical definition. He must be different in his whole attitude and his whole thinking, his whole way of life. This is the biblical teaching. This is the whole meaning, as I have stressed before, of being born again. Being born again means thatyou become different. If being born again leaves you exactly the same as before you were born again, then what's the point of being born again? The whole point of being born again seems to be utterly an academic exercise. The point of being born again is that you become different. But let us pursue this question further. Let us notice this, that this prayer is being addressed to God, that He may hallow His name. So first, it is something that God must do. We are asking Him to hallow His name. Now, what does this mean? We are asking Him to sanctify His name. We are asking Him to make His name to be holy. Now, He is already holy, is He not? So what is there for Him to do? He is already holy. Now, what are we asking Him to do in such a prayer when we say, "Hallowed be Thy name"? Let Your name, make Your name to be holy. What's that prayer? Seeing that God's name is already holy. Seeing that God in Himself is already holy. This brings us to the next point. We have to understand what name means. What does the name mean? Well, in Scripture, the name refers to the person. Just as in everyday life. If you say, "I'm speaking about somebody," I don't know who that somebody is until you say the name. You say, "So-and-so." I say, "Ah, now I know who you're talking about." The name represents that person. But in English, too, name has reputation, just as in the Bible. My good name means my good reputation. If you destroy my name, it means you're destroying my reputation. And so, in Scripture, name means God as He chooses to reveal Himself. So now when we understand this, we're seeing what we are asking God to do. We are saying, may you, O God, do such a work that your name, your reputation, your character is revealed in the eyes of the people as holy. It is not that God is, there is not any question whether God Himself is holy. The question is only whether people know that He is holy. And of course, this implies that people do not know that He is holy. And of course, the world does not know God. Therefore, the prayer is, "Let the world know, O God, who You are." That is what the prayer is. Let Your mighty power be revealed, that the whole world may know that You are God. Let Your name be exalted. By this we begin to see that hallow your name is very close to glorifying your name. The prayer really is glorify your name in a particular way. That's in that particular way being that your name may be so glorified that people may realize that you, O God, are holy. That is utterly different from anything that is in the world. Now the world doesn't know that. If you go out, you'll find that people think of God in the most strange ways. The Greeks thought about God as simply a superman. They behaved just as human beings did. They did the most strange things. You have a god called Bacchus, the god of the feast who makes other people drunk and gets drunk himself. I mean, he's a riotous kind of a character. You have god of war. Even in Chinese, we have Quan Gong, you see, god of war. In other words, the gods, notice, are not holy. These gods of the world are simply superb human beings. They do all the bad things that human beings do, with some few exceptions, because they represent human virtues. But they only represent human virtues. Notice, the gods of this world, there are none of them who are holy. They are simply human beings who have been stepped up to a higher level. So any of you familiar with Greek mythology will realize that the Greek gods, for example, or the Roman gods for that matter, were vindictive, were hateful, were narrow-minded, were petty, were squabbling, were fighting with each other, were getting drunk, were hurting each other. The whole bunch, the gods behaved exactly like human beings. Why? Because all the gods of this world are simply human beings who have been magnified. Now that shows you the difference between God in the Bible and the gods of this world. The God in the Bible is immediately different in that He is in no way like a human being. That's why I said right at the beginning, you cannot reason from human virtue, whether it be the virtue of warriors, of fighting, from which we get the gods of war like Mars in the West or Quan Gong in China. These are simply heroes which have been stepped up. Quan Gong, of course, was a hero in Chinese history who was then raised, deified to the level of a god. which just proves exactly this, that the gods of this world are simply supermen, and we still have that today. Human beings are still creating their gods. We have bionic man and bionic women today. That's $6 million or something, and you got a superman. And he runs a little faster than you do, and he has a more strength in twisting this and that thing, and his mind doesn't seem to work a lot faster, but anyway, that part maybe can be improved later on when they add another $1 or 2 million. But in the meantime, with $6 million down, he can do the sort of things that most bulldozers could do. Very expensive bulldozer. But anyway, you see, this is typical of gods of this world. They are simply human beings promoted to a higher level. And so we must understand that the prayer here is, oh Lord, may the world know that you are different, that you are not like the God. Reveal yourself. In other words, this is a prayer. Reveal yourself to the world. Let the world know that you are God. Just as in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel so many times, then the nations will know that I am God when I do this and do that. And we're going to see in a moment what he does. So, 诚圣, 这里面的祷告, 愿你的名被尊为圣, 祷告的意思是什么? 主要就是愿你的名被荣耀。 但是荣耀在哪一方面? 荣耀就是荣耀在这一方面。 愿你做出你奇妙的工作来, 好让人家知道你是完全跟世界上所有的鬼神不同的。 你真正是上帝, 让全世界知道你是上帝, 这是祷告的意思。 因为你说愿你的名被尊为圣, 那上帝已经是圣。 那么愿你的名被尊为圣，就是愿世界来尊你的名为圣，愿世界来知道你是上帝。你知道世界上的神，没有一个是圣洁的。无论是希腊那个时候尊敬的那些个神，或者罗马人或者埃及人，他们所尊敬的神，都是什么呢？都是人。 这是这一方面呢，就是可以说是高级的人而已。就是说，我们中国也有这种现象。就以前我们在战国的时候，有张飞、关公啊，刘备这些个人啊。但是因为关公呢，这个打仗非常有能力，结果呢，他也被提到神的地位去了啊。他这样呢，就成为战争的神。 但是世界上的神都是如此，无论是东方或者西方世界的神，不过是人把它提成神，就是人对某某人很好，所以呢，我们就说应该有个神代表恩赐，或者代表恩典，或者代表怜悯这种的神，或者需要战争的神，或者以正义的神，或者公道的神。但是神在世界上的神，跟人的行为根本没有不同的。 所以在希腊神话里面，我们现在称为神话，但是那个时候这些个神都被万人所尊敬，被万人所崇拜。他们的那些个神彼此争吵、彼此打仗、胡闹，什么都来，什么都来，跟人一点分别都没有。那实际上他们没有办法来分别他们的神，因为他们的神根本不是分别为圣的，他们的神根本不是圣的。 更不用讲是圣洁的，所以呢，我们在祷告的时候，愿你的名被尊为圣，就是让万人知道你是上帝。他们这些个所谓神的根本不是神，愿你的名得到荣耀，让大家知道你是上帝。这是我们祷告的意思。 And here we need to go on and pursue the question further by asking the next question. Seeing then that we are praying that God may glorify his name by showing it to be holy, by revealing his character to be holy and utterly different from what is in this world, that he may make his entrance into this world in revelation and in power. But how is it going to be done? What exactly are we praying for? Or do we know what we are praying for? Well, the next step we realize is that God is going to do this thing, and how he is going to do it, as the scripture shows to us, is that he is going to do it in us. Now, this is the point that we must see very clearly and very importantly. God, when we are asking him to do this, how is God's name, or where is God's name going to be? By what means is his name going to be hallowed? Is it going to be hallowed in the houses of Montreal? Is God's name going to be seen to be holy by looking at the houses, by looking at the trees, by looking at the flowers, by looking at what? The cars? Of course not. It must be looking at people. God is going to reveal his name as holy. Where? In his people. Now that's the next point we must understand. God's holiness is going to be revealed in us. That's the scriptural teaching. Let me read to you in this context a very important verse, and that is in Ezekiel, which sums up, in fact, the whole of this teaching very clearly. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 23, let me read to you this verse, and you'll see how close this verse is to the verse we are studying now. And here we read these words, "And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes." Now you can notice just how close these words are to the words in the Lord's Prayer. What is he saying here? What is Ezekiel saying? I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations by you. You, Israel, and the words unfortunately apply just as much to the church today, you have profaned my name, you have dishonored my name in the world. The church has brought little or no glory to God, but a great deal of dishonor by its bickerings, its squabblings, its sectarianism, its partisanship, its church differences and disputes. You have dishonored, disgraced my name. Profane is the exact opposite of making holy. It is to make secular. It is to dishonor, to degrade. You have profaned my name among the nations. And the nations will know when I have revealed my holiness and vindicated my holiness. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, says the Lord your God, when through you, you, the very people through whom my name was profaned and dishonored, I am going to do a work in such a way that it's going to be through you that I will vindicate my holiness before their eyes, the eyes of the world. Now you can see, when you've read this verse carefully, that this is exactly the same thing that Jesus has in his mind. God is going to hallow his name. God is going to glorify his name as holy, and he's going to cause all the nations of the world to see it. But it's going to be through you. That's the way he's going to work. The same people who dishonored his name, he is going to do a work in them that they are going to glorify his name. Now, this is exactly what I'm praying for, what we must be praying for in this generation. The church has been a disgrace. We all know it. There's no use arguing about it. There's no use defending it. It's a truth that everybody knows. But I have hope that if we pray and call upon the name of the Lord, God is going to vindicate his name through the same people who profaned his name, through us, through the church. He is going to do a great and amazing work. 上帝怎么样 而使他的名被尊为圣呢? 他应该怎么样做才可以实现这个目标呢? 我们看圣经话语的时候, 我们知道 他会在他的百姓当中 来实现这个目标, 来完成这个任务。 这个话语呢, 跟以西结里面 第36章 第23节所讲的话, 非常相近。 马上使得我们知道，主耶稣教导他门徒说这句话的时候，祷告里面说这句话，以西结第36章第27节，这个话语在他的思想里面可是很是明显。这里怎么念呢？ 第三十六章第二十三节这样念：不要使我的大名显为圣，这名在列国中已经被亵渎，就是你们在他们中间所亵渎的。我在他们眼前，在你们身上显为圣的时候，他们就知道我是耶和华，这是耶和华所说的。请看这里面所讲的话，跟我们主导文里面所讲的话一是一样。主耶稣这里耶和华说，我要使我的名，我的大名显为圣，他已经是圣，但是他要显为圣，显给谁看呢？显给谁知道呢？就是显给列国知道。但是他在什么地方要显呢？就是在你们的身上要显为圣。虽然你们，就是因为你们，我的名在列国当中已经被亵渎，但是呢，我呢要在，就是你们这些个人当中，就是以色列里面当以色列里面的人当中要显为圣。这是何等奇妙，这给我一个很大的希望。我们知道我们教会，但所有教会，基督教天主教也好，都是带给上帝一个很大的羞辱。在这个世界上，上帝的名在世界上因为教会而被很多人所亵渎，就连带我自己在内。我本来非基督徒的时候，没有信主的时候，我根本不愿意做基督徒，因为我看这些个基督徒而讨厌，觉得他们这些人都是穿着黑袍挂十字架，都是一帮假冒伪善的人，我看不出他们在生命里面有什么爱心，有什么美丽来。这种人根本不要跟他们有关系。上帝的名因为教会而被亵渎，在罗马书第二章里面，你们记得保罗跟以色列说这个话完全一样的话，因为你们，上帝的名在世界上被亵渎，被毁谤。那么上帝呢，就是要在以色列当中要做出一个工作来，好让他的名在他们的身上显为圣。上帝要在我们的身上显出他的圣洁来，这个应该怎么做呢？How then is God going to do this? How is God going to reveal his holiness in the midst of the very same people and through the very same people who caused his name to be blasphemed, as Paul says in Romans chapter 2, among the Gentiles? Well, if we read on in Ezekiel, the answer is there. We don't have to read on very far. As we read on in Ezekiel, we find that Ezekiel tells us how it's going to be done. He says it's going to be done like this, that he, God, is going to put a new spirit and a new heart within men. He is going to change the Israelites. He is going to transform them. That's how God's power is going to work. He's going to come into the Israelites and take hold of them and change them and make new people out of them. And so as we read on a few verses further on, 24, the next verse, For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. In verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. Verse 26, A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone, the dead heart, and give you a heart of flesh, a living heart. How many times in this church we have already emphasized this, what it means to become a true Christian. And that is that God calls us out, as he says in verse 24, I will take you from the nations. He gathers us to himself. That's the first step, separating them out from the nations where they have been mixed into. So the first step of being sanctified, of becoming holy, is that God calls us out to be separate, to be different, as Paul uses exactly that quotation in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5, come out from among them, be separate. We have to come out, not physically out of the world, but out from the world in the way they behave themselves and the way they conduct themselves. And when we respond to God's call, then what does God do? God puts a new spirit within us, a new heart within us. And so He makes us to become clean, to become holy. So we now see what God is doing. We see that God is going to answer this prayer by changing us. 我们在看这段圣经的时候，我们问这个问题：上帝怎么样使得他的名为圣，就是在他的百姓当中为圣呢？那么我们再看下去第二十四节，一直看到第二十六节，讲得很清楚。 第二十四节说：“我必从各国收取你们，从列邦聚集你们，引导你们归回本地。我必用清水洒在你们身上，你们就洁净了。我要洁净你们，使你们脱离一切的污秽，弃掉一切的偶像。我要赐给你们一个新心，将心灵放在你们里面。”
就从你们的肉体中除掉实心，赐给你们肉心。实心当然是死的，肉心是活的。这样我们就看到上帝怎么样说，有两个步骤。第一个，你们要，我要把你们从各国里面分别出来，就犹太人就像基督徒一样，就混在世界里面。你看一个基督徒
和非基督徒看来看去分别不出来，哪一个是基督徒，哪一个是非基督徒看不清楚。他们的行事为人跟非基督徒完全一样，你怎么也看不出他是基督徒，除非他跟我讲我是基督徒哦，我才知道哦，你原来是基督徒。他不跟我讲，我还不知道啊。但是上帝要说我要把你们从世界上分别出来，不是说离开世界，而是从行事为人方面分别出来。当我们听到上帝的呼召，我们
响应那个呼召，到主的面前来的时候，他想怎么样了？他就把一个圣洁的心放在我们的心里面去。他用清水把我们洗净。这个清水是什么？我们很清楚了，就是圣灵自己了。圣灵在圣经里面用水来代表，圣经赐给我们，就把我们的污秽去掉，从我们心里面的污秽去掉，去掉。上帝再把一个新的灵、新的心放在我们的心里面。
我们称为新的人，真的基督徒就是称为一个新的人。But this leads us to another very important point regarding prayer. Consider this. That if you are asking and you know what you are asking for, can you see what you are praying for? When you pray, O God, let your name be glorified in such a way that the world will know that you are holy. We are saying, let your name be holy and sanctified in us and through us. We are saying, Lord, change me. We cannot sincerely be asking God to glorify His name if we don't mean glorify your name in me. Never pray the Lord's Prayer again if you don't intend that God will change you and separate you out of the world. Then don't repeat the Lord's Prayer. That prayer is not for you. This prayer is only for those people who are willing to follow Jesus all the way. It's only for people who are willing to take up the cross and follow Jesus, who are wholly committed to Jesus, who are saying, Lord, let your name be glorified as holy throughout the world through me. That is a basic principle in prayer. That whatever you pray for, either you don't mean it, or if you mean it, God is going to ask you to do your part. For example, there is a brother and sister in need financially. What do? I say, Lord, supply his need or her need. Good. So what's your responsibility? Nothing. I've done my prayer. I've prayed. So that's the end of my responsibility. Wrong. You either don't pray that prayer, or if you pray that prayer, God is going to say, okay, now you start with you. You do something about it. If you don't intend to do something about it, don't pray. You can see that prayer and life are inseparable. You cannot separate prayer and life. If you don't intend to do something about it, don't pray for it. Because God is going to tell you to be the first one to do something about it.
Am I not a hypocrite if I pray for a brother or sister in need and say, Lord, supply his needs, and I don't take out some money to give to them? What kind of a hypocrite am I?